as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here with you. When I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about whether I was brave enough to start with a song. No. It's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know. Goodbye, Piccadilly, farewell, Leicester Square. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart lies there. There we go. So there you go. So we are thinking about the way. Now this song, it was known as a marching song in the First World War. But it was actually written by a couple of Irish writers who lived in London and were looking back to their homeland in Tipperary and their love of their life who was there. And it captures something about that yearning for home. It's not a battle song that kind of spurs everybody on to great deeds and bravery. It's a song that looks to home because that's where our heart lies. It looks to the way home because that's where our heart lies. And last week, we were thinking about a way, but last week we were thinking about us preparing the way of the Lord, if you remember, what it means for us to prepare the way of the Lord now. And we talked about the obedience, the importance of believing that Jesus is going to return, of what it means to share that good news with others, and being that good news by caring tenderly for others. And in this way, we can prepare the way for Jesus' return as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus and called out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Now this week we're thinking about another way. And again, this is described by Isaiah and it's talked about by Jesus in his life and ministry. And this is the way that the Lord has prepared for us to go home. Last week, preparing the way of the Lord. This week, celebrating and walking the way the Lord has prepared for us. So as I said, we get this theme from Isaiah. God's messenger, again, encouraging the people that on the other side of the disaster that is coming, there is hope. There is a new way of life. Because if we read ahead a bit into the next chapter, a little bit of homework for you if you want to, we find the account of Jerusalem being threatened by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. Now, Jerusalem doesn't actually fall this time, but it won't be long before it does, and before the people of God are driven into exile. And Isaiah tells them this is going to happen, but along with the warnings, he gives them this encouragement so that they have hope to hold on to in that exile. And if we look back at history, we can see that elements of the prophecy that Isaiah gave were fulfilled with the return to Jerusalem. God did redeem his people from exile. They did enter Zion with singing. Some of these things that Isaiah prophesied did happen, but that isn't the whole story. There are some parts of the vision that weren't fulfilled, not then. Now, as Heather said when we were lighting our Advent candles, this morning we're thinking particularly with our candles about John the Baptist, and we heard the circumstance around his birth and his naming this morning in the reading that Angela read for us. And later in John's life, after his ministry in the desert, after he'd been out in the desert saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord and urging people to repent and get baptized, after that, John is imprisoned and shut in his cell. He sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask, are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Any of that sound familiar? It's not a one-to-one match, but the list of things that Jesus points to, the list of things that Jesus is doing, is what Isaiah prophesied. It's not yet a complete fulfillment, but it is perhaps an indication that we are on the way to seeing complete fulfillment. We're not there yet. Are we nearly there yet? We're not there yet, but we are on the way. That is the hope and the faith of Advent. The preparations for celebrating Jesus' birth are in full swing. The Christmas tree went up in the vicarage yesterday. A bit early, never mind. But more importantly, we are reminded that we are looking forward to Jesus' return. And the journey continues as we follow the way of the Lord, the way Jesus has prepared for us. So let's think a little bit more about that this morning. In John 14, Jesus is talking to his friends about the fact that he is going to leave them. He's about to be crucified and return to heaven to prepare a place for them. And he tells them that they know the way there. And Thomas, ever the one to ask the obvious question, says, "Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way?" Perfectly reasonable question, it seems to me. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Jesus is the way to where we're going. And the way, did you know that the early Christians were known as those who belonged to the way? Before they were known as Christians, they were known as those who belonged to the way. In Acts 9, when Saul, who later became Paul, is described before his conversion, it says this: "Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any of those who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Jesus' followers were known as those who belonged to the way. So as those who follow Jesus, as we wait for Jesus, we belong to the way. But what does that mean? What does it mean for our daily lives? Well, one of the things I love about this way of describing what it means to be a Christian is that it seems to me to capture so much meaning. So much, in fact, that one of the struggles I had preparing this morning was what to cut out. I did cut out about 500 words, you'll be glad to hear. So I'm not going to be able to cover it all this morning, but perhaps these will be starting points for your reflections. And as we go towards Christmas, as we think about Advent, just reflect, just hear yourself. How many times in a day you hear the word "the way" or say "the way" and what it means. And just think about what it means for Jesus to be that thing. So here are just a few of mine. Jesus is the route, Jesus is the road, and I couldn't think of another R. Jesus is the manna. Jesus is the road, the route, and the manna. And if you can think of another word beginning in R that means manna, you're doing better than the online thesaurus I looked at this morning. So anyway, Jesus is the route. Jesus is the answer to, which way shall we go? Shall we turn left or shall we turn right? Now, for those of you who use sat-nav, you're sometimes given a choice of routes. My car asks me whether I want to go the quickest way, the shortest way, or the most eco-friendly way. Google Maps kind of gives you some options. For those of you who use paper maps, particularly perhaps if you're out walking, you might choose the most scenic way, or you might like to avoid particular types of road. Which way will we go? Which route are we going to follow? Last week we had the McNamara family here, and they were describing the way in which God had called them to go and use their teaching and leadership gifts, working and serving orphans in Kenya. That was the route for them. But for each of us, Jesus has a route through life which he's calling us to follow. And that means asking him, when we face decisions, left or right, Lord? And more than asking him, doing what he says. Now, there are a couple of health warnings that go with this. Some Christians seem to think that God's route or plan for their life is like a tightrope. It's really difficult to walk on, and if you lose your balance and fall off, you're done. That's it. Or perhaps like one of those first generation sat-nav systems, which when you went off the route just kept saying, perform a U-turn, perform a U-turn. There doesn't seem to be much of the grace and forgiveness that we read about in Scripture that God is like in that. It seems to me that Jesus is much more like a modern sat-nav system, which just recalculates your route for you. There are, of course, limits to this. Even the best sat-nav won't get us to our destination if we keep on choosing to ignore it. The second health warning is it seems to me that we need to find a balance between activism and paralysis. In Scripture, we find commands to both wait on the Lord and to get on with what's in front of us, the standing orders, if you like. Personally, I find it quite difficult to get this balance. Sometimes I know that I charge ahead. I've had a bright idea. I'm going to go this way. I'm doing that. I'm not always great at actually waiting for God's timing or actually even waiting to find out whether it's God's idea or just my good idea. But sometimes I know that I sit around when there are things that God has put in front of me to do and I think, no, I'm going to wait. I don't need to wait for God to give me permission to love my neighbour. I really don't. So that's balance between activism, when you just charge ahead, and paralysis, where you just don't do anything because you're not quite sure exactly what God wants you to do. And this is where having good Christian friends that we can talk about these things and pray them through with, perhaps our small group or our prayer triplet, can be really helpful. So Jesus is the route. Jesus is also the road. Jesus is the answer to the question, how do I get from here to there? Now, on Friday, I was driving to Hereford, cross country, through Much Wenlock, and over to Ludlow. Yeah? Just as I was heading down the road towards Ludlow Racecourse, I discovered that the road was closed. Hey! First indication was a sign 100 yards beforehand, road closed. Lovely. How was I going to get from here to there? Well, fortunately, there was a little lane off to the right. Now, if I'd been the only one, I might have been a bit not sure about this, but there were two other cars directly in front of me. So we headed off in this little convoy round this single lane, about 2 miles through the countryside. Yeah, Liz is nodding. Liz was like, are you sure? I hope we don't meet anything coming the other way. Until we did just come out on Ludlow Racecourse, just the other side of the closure. Victory. Now, when God created the world, we read that human beings were able to walk in the presence of God. We walked in the garden together. We walked in the garden together, but then we decided we knew better and we wanted to walk our own way. So the road was closed. Our shame and our guilt blocked the way for us to be in the presence of God. And one of the things that Jesus came to do was to reopen that way. As it says in Hebrews 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. The way, the route, the road into God's presence has been reopened for us. Jesus' death and resurrection deals with all our guilt and all our shame. Because we can be forgiven. He gladly lays down his body so that we can walk on it into the presence of God. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's why we love him, because he is the road. Jesus is the route. Jesus is the road. And Jesus is the manna. Jesus is the answer to the question, how shall we travel there? And this could be a whole sermon on itself. So these really are only thought starters. But the basis of all of them is looking at Jesus and imitating him, walking as he walked. If you want another song, you could look to, is it Jungle Book? Want to walk how you walk? Yeah, I'm not going to try and sing that one. Anyway, we walk as Jesus walked. We travel in holiness. Isaiah talks about this king's highway on which only those who are righteous, only those who are holy, walk on it. There should be no impure on it, he says. We know that we're not righteous in ourselves, we're not holy in ourselves, we're not perfect in ourselves, we're not pure in ourselves. But another thing Jesus does by his death and resurrection is give us his righteousness. We can walk the holy way because Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, indwells us and enables us to do so. We will travel in holiness. We travel with wonder. Now, those of us who have ever been on a walk with little children know that we're not going to be getting anywhere quickly. Everything is fascinating. Leaves, sticks, stones, everything is absolutely fascinating. We've got to stop and look at it all. Now, this can be annoying if we are needing to be getting somewhere quickly. It's all very well if you're on a Sunday afternoon jaunt and you'd planned for it taking 3 hours to walk half a yard. But Jesus did say that the kingdom belongs to those who become like little children. And in his teaching, he often said things like, consider the flowers. So if we're to walk the way Jesus walked, we're to walk in wonder, to learn from children, to stop, not to be quite so kind of, right, we're going there. And a little bit more, that's a pretty flower. We travel together. Isaiah talks about strengthening feeble hands, feeble knees, encouraging those with fearful hearts. We strengthen and encourage each other on the journey. In Matthew 12, we hear Jesus described as fulfilling another of Isaiah's prophecies. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus walked encouraging people. He walked in a party with others. As we walk, as Jesus walked, we walk together, encouraging each other, building each other up, speaking strength to each other's fears. And we walk in celebration. Seems to me that the whole of this passage, the whole of this chapter of Isaiah, is shot through with celebration. From the deserts being glad at the beginning, through the gushing springs in the middle, to the singing on the way into Zion at the end, celebrating. There is just celebration here. And we as a church, we have as one of our values, celebrating. And it has been so difficult to practice that over the last couple of years. But I believe it is key to our Christian lives. And sometimes we'll be able to celebrate because of what's happening now. And sometimes we celebrate in faith because of what we can see coming down the way. But either way, we are to celebrate, even when it's difficult. So that's my encouragement this morning. As we continue to journey through Advent, let's walk in the way that Jesus has prepared for us. It might be a long way, but our heart is in heaven. And if we want to get there, our heart is with Jesus. We want to be with God. We walk in the way, and the way is Jesus. We follow Jesus as our route, as our road, in the manner that we go. And as we do, we invite others to walk with us. Amen.